I had been sick for days. Fever, body aches, the kind that makes it impossible to get out of bed without feeling like you're going to collapse. Work had given me time off, but that didn't help much. The nights were the worst, waking up drenched in sweat, shivering despite the heat of my blanket. Tonight was no different. I was lying in bed staring at the ceiling, unable to sleep when my phone vibrated on the nightstand. A notification from my Ring camera. Motion detected at front door. That was odd. I lived alone and it was well past midnight. Maybe a stray cat. I grabbed my phone and checked the live feed. Nothing. The porch was empty. The street beyond it, quiet. Just to be sure, I decided to review the footage. But before I could tap on the video, something slammed into my bedroom window with a loud thud. My heart jumped. I turned my head, staring at the glass, expecting to see some animal flailing around. But there was nothing. Just a dark smudge where something had hit. I hesitated, then forced myself up, feeling every muscle protest. My fevered body didn't want to move, but I had to see what it was. I reached the window, pushed it open slightly, and immediately regretted it. The thing that had hit my window wasn't just some random bird. It was mutilated. Feathers scattered, its body torn apart like something had killed it before launching it at my home. I slammed the window shut, locking it, my breath coming in ragged gasps. This wasn't normal. This wasn't just some sick animal. Someone had done this. Trying to shake the fear off, I returned to my phone, focusing back on the Ring camera footage. My stomach twisted as I watched the video. A woman wearing a mask moved strangely towards my front door. Her body jerked unnaturally, almost as if she were a puppet controlled by invisible strings. She stopped inches from the camera, head tilting side to side. Then suddenly, a noise from inside the house. My eyes darted away from the screen. The sound had come from across the room. Slowly, I scanned the space. Everything looked the same, except for one detail. The other window was open. Had it been like that before? Had I left it open? My mind raced, searching for an answer. But then I saw something else. Dirt. Smudged into the wooden floor as if someone had stepped inside. A sinking dread filled my chest. My entire body tensed, cold sweat mixing with the fever that already plagued me. My limbs felt weak, but I forced myself to move. I needed a weapon. Something, anything to defend myself. My breath quickened as I scanned the room, but before I could take a step, I felt it. The presence. It was there, right behind me. Every hair on my body stood on end, my stomach twisting into a knot so tight it hurt. I turned, and there she was, standing inches away from me. Her mask was grotesque, a stretched, almost melted face with hollowed-out eye sockets. Her body was too still, too rigid. Then, with a sudden jolt, her arm lashed out, fingers closing around my throat. Her grip tightened, cutting off my air. My hands clawed at hers, trying to break free, but she was too strong. My lungs screamed, my body thrashed against hers. I could hear the blood pounding in my ears, my vision darkening at the edges. I had to do something or I was going to die. Summoning the last of my strength, I stomped on her foot with everything I had. She let out a low, unnatural noise. Not a scream, but something warped and wrong. Her grip loosened just enough for me to stumble backward. My chest heaved as I sucked in precious air, but I had no time to recover. She was moving again, her jerky, unnatural motions making my skin crawl. I turned and bolted for the window, my fevered body screaming in protest, but the need to survive overpowered everything else. I had already reached the windowsill when I felt her fingers close around my ankle. A violent yank sent me crashing back to the floor, pain shooting through my ribs as I hit the hardwood. She didn't hesitate. With an impossible strength, she dragged me across the floor towards the basement door. My nails scraped against the wood, my body twisting in desperation. The basement. No. I knew, deep in my bones, that if she got me down there, I wouldn't come back. I fought harder, thrashing, kicking wildly. My foot connected with her face, a sickening crunch echoing through the room. She reeled back, giving me just enough time to scramble to my feet. My entire body screamed in pain, my lungs burning, but I couldn't stop. I ran, sprinting toward the door, my vision blurred from fever and exhaustion. My hands fumbled with the lock, my fingers numb and shaking. Behind me, I heard her moving. Fast, too fast, I wrenched the door open, throwing myself outside. A sharp, searing pain exploded in my side. A gunshot. I stumbled, nearly falling as my body registered the pain too late. I pressed a hand to my hip, warm blood seeping through my fingers. But I couldn't stop. I forced myself forward, running into the night, the cold air biting against my burning skin. My mind was screaming at me to keep going, to not look back. I didn't. I just ran. I ran until my legs could no longer support me. When I finally collapsed onto the pavement, my vision swam, the pain in my side growing unbearable. My breaths came in ragged gasps, my body trembling from both the cold and the shock. I had escaped, but at what cost? My hand pressed against my wound, sticky and warm. Blood loss was settling in. I forced myself to my feet, dragging my body toward the nearest house. I pounded on the door, barely able to keep myself upright. Lights flickered on inside, and before I could register anything else, the door flew open. I felt hands grabbing me before the darkness swallowed me whole. When I woke up, I was in a hospital bed. White walls, the steady beeping of a monitor. My entire body ached, my throat raw. The police came to see me. They had searched my house. Nothing was there. No woman, no sign of forced entry, just my blood on the floor and the dead bird outside. They thought I had been hallucinating from the fever. Maybe I had hurt myself. Maybe I had panicked and imagined the whole thing. But I knew better. I knew she was real, and I knew she wasn't done. A few days later, they found her. Not at my house, but at another. She had done the same thing to someone else. The police arrested her, but she never spoke a word. No name, no explanation, just silence. No one ever figured out why she did it, what she wanted, if she was even human. I don't sleep much anymore. Every time I close my eyes, I see her standing at the foot of my bed, waiting.
Hey guys, we noticed that only a small portion of you are subscribed to the channel. If you really enjoy our stories, please follow us and like the video. It's free and it really helps us a lot to keep growing. We upload videos daily and interact a lot with our community, as we upload stories that you recommend us, and once a month, we upload your own stories. And to those of you who are already subscribed, we appreciate all your likes, comments, and your constant support. You are as much a part of SSG Animations as we are. And now, back to the video.
It was past midnight. My wife and daughter were fast asleep upstairs, and I was sitting in the living room, scrolling through my phone. The house was quiet, too quiet. Then I heard it, a soft click, like a door being forced open. I froze. My heart started hammering in my chest. It wasn't the wind. It wasn't my imagination. Someone was inside of the house. I got up slowly, moving towards the kitchen where I kept an old baseball bat. I gripped it tightly, my palms already sweating. I told myself it was probably nothing, maybe just the house settling. But then I heard footsteps. I stepped into the hallway trying to control my breathing. The air felt thick, suffocating. A figure moved near the stairs. I didn't think. I just swung the bat with everything I had. The bat connected with a sickening crack. The intruder let out a grunt and staggered back. But before I could hit him again, something heavy crashed into me from behind. I fell to the floor, the impact knocking the wind out of me. I turned, gasping, and I saw another man towering over me. I wanted to get up, to fight back, to do something. But then I saw him, a third man standing just a few feet away, wearing a hood and a mask. He was holding a gun aimed straight at me. I went completely still. My arms felt like lead. My stomach turned with fear. The first guy, the one I had hit, groaned and pushed himself up. Fury in his eyes, he wiped blood from his mouth and took a step towards me. I braced myself, but he just smirked. A third man was already climbing the stairs. My blood turned ice cold. I tried to yell, but my voice came out weak. The man kept on going, faster now. Then I heard it. Screams from upstairs. My wife. My daughter. That broke me. I pushed against the floor, scrambling to get up, but the man with the gun took a step forward, pressing the barrel against my forehead. Sit down! I didn't move. The first guy kicked me hard in the ribs, knocking my breath out again. You shouldn't have done that. The words made the masked man tense up. He turned his head slightly. That was enough for me. I lunged forward, slamming into the first guy, knocking him down. My hands grabbed at his gun, wrestling for control. His elbow smashing into my face, but I didn't let go. Blood filled my mouth, but I kept on pushing. He snarled, using his weight to pin me. His knee crushing my chest. My vision blurred, but I fought harder. I twisted the gun, trying to turn it towards him, but he dove his fist into my jaw. The masked man moved fast, too fast, the cold metal of another gun pressing against my temple. I froze, breathing hard. The first guy took back his weapon, his eyes burning with rage. Then he hit me, hard. A fist to my stomach, a boot to my ribs, a gun stock slamming into my face. The room spun, pain exploded through my body. I could hear my daughter crying upstairs, my wife pleading. I couldn't do anything. The humiliation of my own helplessness burned worse than the pain. The third man called out.
She was calling the cops.
The room went silent, tension thickening, pressing down on me. The first guy grabbed my shirt, pulling me so close our faces were inches apart. I could see his teeth, clenched in anger.
You just signed your family's death sentence.
I swallowed hard, but before I could react, he slammed his fist into my face again. Everything went black for a second. I tried to speak, but before I could, the first guy hit me again. My hand snapped back, pain shooting through my skull.
You think this is a joke? You think you can hit me and walk away?
Hit after hit after hit. My vision blurred. My ears rang. I tasted blood. My body ached, but the real pain came from knowing my family was at their mercy. The masked man finally spoke.
Enough. We don't have time for this.
I was barely able to stay upright. As they dragged me upstairs, my wife and daughter were huddled against a wall, terror in their eyes. My daughter holding onto her mother, shaking. The first guy smirked, rubbing his bruised jaw.
We should kill them now.
My stomach dropped. I had to do something, anything. I looked at my wife and my daughter. The gun was still in the guy's hand, but he was distracted, talking to the others. This was my only chance. I threw my full weight into him, tackling him into the ground. My hands grabbed the gun, yanking it free. My fingers wrapped around the grip, my heart pounding. I lifted it, turning it towards them, but I was too slow. The masked man and the third guy had their guns aimed at my wife and daughter. My hands trembled. I wanted to pull the trigger, but I couldn't. If I did, they would kill my family before I could react. The first guy stood up, wiping blood from his mouth. His eyes were pure hatred. He stepped towards me.
Drop it.
I clenched my teeth. My wife shook her head slightly, her eyes bleeding. I had no choice. My grip loosened. The gun fell to the floor. The first guy kicked me in the chest, sending me crashing back. He aimed his gun at me, but then, sirens, faint at first, but getting closer. The men panicked. The masked man looked at his crew.
We need to go.
But the first guy wasn't done. His hands moved fast. He grabbed my wife, yanking her away. His gun turned towards my daughter.
If you move, she dies.
I stopped breathing, my wife struggling, kicking, clawing at his arm, but he was stronger. The sirens grew louder, red and blue lights flashing outside. The first guy growled, and then did the unthinkable. He shoved my wife backwards right out of the window. Glass shattered, a scream, a dull, sickening thud outside. I ran to the window. My wife was lying there on the ground, motionless. The men bolted, vanishing into the night. I didn't care. I stumbled down the stairs out to the door. Her legs were twisted. Blood ran down from her arm, but she was breathing. She survived. Barely. Two broken legs. A shattered arm. Months in the hospital. I never let go of her hand. The men were never caught. The police took our statements, but it didn't matter. They were ghosts, vanishing without a trace. The nightmare stayed, even after the bruises faded. We sold the house, moved to a different city, tried to forget. But some nights, when the house is too quiet, I hear a soft click, like a door being forced open.
I never thought a simple walk home would turn into a nightmare. It was a quiet afternoon, and I was late. Again. My ex-husband had called me nonstop, leaving angry voicemails. He wasn't supposed to be near us. There was a restraining order. But that never stopped him from trying. I had to talk to the school about him, and by the time I picked up my son, it was already getting dark. The neighborhood was safe, at least on paper. Large houses, expensive cars, and trimmed lawns. But that also meant fewer people walking outside. Most residents drove everywhere. The streets were empty, quiet, and I just wanted to get home. I held my son's hand as we walked down the sidewalk. He was tired, dragging his feet, but I hurried him along. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. A car crawled past us. I noticed it from the corner of my eye. Black with tinted windows. It wasn't passing, just moving at our pace. I clenched my jaw. Maybe it was my ex trying to scare me. That was exactly his style. Harassment and intimidation. I kept walking, forcing myself not to look. My son mumbled something about being hungry. I hushed him and picked up the pace. The car matched our speed. My hands started sweating. I didn't want to panic, not in front of my kid, but my heart was hammering in my chest. I turned a corner and so did the car. My breathing got faster. I needed to lose them. There was a parked truck ahead. I led my son behind it, crouching low. The car stopped. My stomach twisted. Seconds dragged by. I strained my ears, waiting for a door to open, for footsteps to come closer. Nothing. Just the hum of the engine. I dared to peek around the truck. The driver's window was down, but the inside was too dark to see. My skin prickled. They were watching. Waiting. I heard doors opening. More than one. The sound sent a jolt of terror through me. I grabbed my son's hand and ran. I didn't care if he stumbled, I just pulled him forward. Behind us, footsteps rushed back to the car. The engine roared. They were coming. I heard a door slam shut, then tires screeching as they sped toward us. My breath was ragged, my legs burning as I pushed forward. We turned a corner so fast, my son nearly fell. I yanked him up, pushing through the panic. I heard the car behind us, the tires crunching gravel as it slowed again. They weren't giving up. My house was just a few blocks away. If I could just... Then I saw him. My ex-husband standing at my door. He was swaying, his eyes glassy, drunk. My body tensed. I wasn't sure what was worse. The men in the car, or him. I hesitated for a second, and that was all it took. The car stopped. The back door opened. A man stepped out. I had no time to think. The second I reached the steps, my ex lunged at me, his hands wrapped around my throat, squeezing. My vision blurred. My son screamed. His voice was slurred, filled with hate. He was yelling about how I took his son, how I ruined his life. My nails dug into his arms, but he was too strong. My knees buckled. His grip tightened. My lungs screamed for air. Then, something yanked him off me. I collapsed, coughing, my throat burning. My ex hit the pavement with a sickening crack. Two men stood over him. Strangers. The same ones from the car. One of them kicked him hard in the ribs. He groaned, rolling over, coughing blood. The taller man crouched beside him, grabbing his shirt.
You really thought you could run forever?
My ex whimpered something I couldn't hear. The man didn't care. He punched him once, hard, and his head snapped back. Blood spattered onto the pavement. I grabbed my son and backed away. The men didn't even glance at me. One of them pulled out a gun. My ex raised a shaking hand, trying to speak, but it was pointless. The shot rang out, loud, final. His body went limp. The silence after the gunshot was suffocating. My son clung to me, his small hands digging into my side. I could barely think. My ears were ringing. My chest felt tight. The man with the gun turned to look at me. His face was calm, empty. I didn't wait. I grabbed my son and bolted for the door. My fingers fumbled with the keys. I could hear their footsteps behind me, slow, deliberate. The door finally opened and I shoved us inside, slamming it shut, locking it just in time. A second later, a heavy kick shook the door. Another. The wood groaned. My son sobbed. I grabbed a kitchen knife, my hands trembling. The pounding got louder. They were going to break in. I thought about running upstairs, about hiding, but it was useless. They would find us. I pressed my back against the door, heart hammering, feeling every vibration of their assault. Then, voices outside, shouting, neighbors, sirens. The noise sliced through the chaos. The kicking stopped. Silence. I didn't dare move. Minutes passed, then the sound of a car speeding away. When I finally opened the door, my ex was dead on the pavement, but the men were gone. The police arrived moments later. The cops told me everything. My ex owed money, serious money. The men were with the mafia. He had been hiding, and they were going to use us to lure him out. But when they saw him standing right there, they didn't need to. They killed him on the spot. The worst part, they weren't arrested. The police said there wasn't enough evidence. My ex was just another deadbeat with enemies. They told me to be careful, to watch out in case anyone came back for unfinished business. I packed my things that night. I wasn't staying. My son and I moved in with my mother, far away from that neighborhood. We were safe, for now. But every time I walked down a quiet street, I felt the ghost of that night breathing down my neck. And I knew deep down that people like them never really go away.